Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all need to wake up.
Y'all need to wake up now. Man, let's cut it short. Y'all, we got a lot of stuff to cover. Let's jump right in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Wednesday. Wednesday, October the 26th. Wednesday, October the 26th of 2016. And the time is 5:30 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to continue with part three of the series entitled The Physical and Psychological Effects of Worldliness. Yesterday, we talked about and we was breaking down the word world. So the word becomes the world when you add the L in it. Now, this world that we live in is not our friend. Now, what's so important and what's so dangerous, and why isn't the world our friend? Why can't we be friends with this world? Why is it that friendship with this world makes you an enemy of love? Now, remember, when you think of God, don't think of a mystical figure in the sky. When you think of God, think of love. Think of the chemical oxytocin and think of the feeling. So love is not a mystical guy with a gray beard sitting in the sky. That's not God. God is love. God is a frequency. God is a wave. God is a consciousness. God is a way of living. God is the way that you carry yourself. Now, there are things that we do as people that are not lovely or not godlike. We all do those things. That's what we call about worldliness. So when we do those things that are not associated with godliness, love, then we suffer from certain psychological and physical ailments. Every time we engage in any kind of a mental discourse, we are involving or engaging in this whole overstanding or lack of overstanding of this thing that we call love. Now, brothers and sisters, none of us are perfect. That's the reason for the show. And we have to understand, like we were talking about yesterday, because those are the areas that we make the mistakes. Again, let me say that again. None of us are perfect. I'm surely not perfect. I make mistakes every day. Since none of us are perfect, friendship with this world means that we are an enemy of love. So love, remember, is not a feeling. That's what we were all been taught. Love, again, is what they call in science. Let me get the quick verbiage. It is a wireless high voltage transmission. So what am I saying? What is the physical and psychological effects of worldliness? Well, godliness is loveliness. So anytime that I am not acting like God, then I am acting like the world. And that causes me to be dehydrated because it changes alkaline base of my body from being alkaline to being acidic. Now, you all know that your thoughts is the most powerful thing that affects the body. That was proven beyond a shadow of a doubt by Dr. Emoto. So I don't care what you eat. I don't care how much you work out. I don't care none of the things that you do, because I'm an expert and do all this stuff. I work out all the time. I eat bad. I eat healthy. I do all of this stuff. But if I don't control my thoughts, then I am being a friend of the world. Now, this is so important because everybody thinks God is a mystical figure in the sky. Now, he may or he may not. He may not be. That's a mute point. That's irrelevant. God is not an old guy with a beard sitting in the sky. God is a frequency. He's a wave. He's a vibration. Now, if you can wrap your brain around that statement, then now we understand why worldliness is a problem. Because worldliness simply states, as I talked about in my book, The Cosmogrator, worldliness is a harmonious arrangement. Worldliness is restless motion. Worldliness is the man instructing snake. So Paul talks about this man instructing snake. Now, we call this guy Beelzebub, Prince of Darkness, King of Tyre, the Father of Lies, the Daystar, the Thief, the Cosmogrator, Samael, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Asmodeus, Leviathan, Belphegor. Basically, it's this world system. So this world system that we live in is based upon Lucifer. If you are vibrating on that frequency, what does that mean? That simply means that everything on Earth spins. If you go to Google and type in the electromagnetic spectrum, you will find out that nothing in the on the Earth stands still. The Bible says in Psalms 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So be still, but nothing on Earth is still. Nothing. Nothing in this world is still. Everything on this planet, everything in this universe, everything that is known, but we only know 1%. What is the other 99%? Everybody that's listening to this show, you're busy vibrating. You're doing something. But the Bible says to be still and know that I am God. So all mass and all matter vibrates. All religion, again, is designed to help you maintain mass or matter, which is friendship with this world. Now, the man instructing snake is called Asklepios. It's spelled A-S-K, ask, L-E-P, leap, I-O-S. Again, that's a Greek word. If you want to blow your cookies, just go to Google and look it up. Again, it's spelled two ways of spelling it. And the Roman way of spelling it is A-E-S-C-U-L-A-P-I-U-S. The Greek way of spelling it is A-S-K-L-E-P-I-O-U-S. What does that word mean? It means askiape. Ask means man. Scape means instruct. Ape means serpent. So it's a man instructing serpent. Now, that term and that word, I've never heard it. Let me rephrase that. Most Christians have never heard of this dude. That is what we call the world. That's what all of the ancient texts, all of the Gnostics, everybody, they talk about the man instructing serpent. Now, we call it the devil. We call it all of these other terms. But again, if you want to go down and you understand, again, you got to go back to the etymology of the terms, of the words that you use. Because this word, this definition, when you say devil, this is what you're really saying. This is a serpent that instructs men. Everything that you've been taught was taught to you by the Nephilim. These were the fallen angels. These were the people that followed this man instructing serpent. So friendship with this dude, friendship with this frequency, friendship with this entity, that's the world. The world, again, this system that we live in was created by the Asklepios. This Asklepios, this dude, simply means man instructing serpent. So where are you getting your instructions from? Well, you're getting it from the Lord of Restless Motion. He's not the Lord of Flies. Now, they tell you that crap in the movies, but his real name, Beelzebub, means Lord of Restless Motion, vibration. Now, I don't know about you, but the Demiurge, now this is why this is so deep. Can you go? Now, I have not been able to find it on Earth. I have not been able to find it in the universe. I cannot find no scientific proof for stillness. If somebody can find it, please email me at masterteacher33.com at gmail.com. I cannot find anything that does not vibrate, including you and me. So can anybody find anything that vibrates, that doesn't vibrate? Everything in the universe moves. That's how it's alive. But God says be still. The only way you know stuff is to be still. So do you see the conundrum? I don't know. Maybe you don't see the problem. So cognitive dissonance is the problem. That is the psychological effect of living in a world that always moves. Nothing stops moving. You're either going towards your goal or you're going away from your goal. But you're going somewhere. You are always vibrating. You're always moving. And so that is the first thing we have to understand. Friendship with vibration makes you an enemy of stillness. That's what the scripture is saying. So we're talking about, again, the difference between physics and particle physics and waveform physics and waveform duality and toroidal energy and scalar technology. All of that's science. What does that mean in basic English? God is love. God didn't create love. God is love. So that means anytime you're not doing things that have the attributes and the characteristics of the frequency of love, then you are in trouble. Now, are you in, like, something bad going to happen to you? Absolutely not. In fact, the more you vibrate, the more successful you are in this world, because this world is based upon the people that vibrate the fastest. But Yahushua says this. You ever seen a bicycle when it has spokes and it goes really, 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 really fast until the spokes disappear and it looks like the wheel is not moving? It's still. Let me say that again. When Yahushua went on the Mount of Olives and he transfigured himself, what did he do? He increased his vibratory rate to the point that you vibrate so fast that, again, it becomes still, translucent. It's like, how do movies are actually still pictures, but the images of the frames are moving so fast that they give the illusion that it is moving, but it is not moving. Pictures are not moving objects. They are stationary objects that are put together to give the illusion of movement. Man, I don't know if y'all understand what I just said. But this world we live in is a great big illusion. So now we got to understand, how does this affect my brain? How does this affect my personality? How does this affect who I am and what I do? Well, the first thing that it does, as we talked about yesterday, you are either operating in faith, hope, and love, or fear, doubt, and unbelief. Since everything that everybody do is based upon fear, doubt, and unbelief, it's causing two problems. Cognitive dissonance and dehydration, which leads to all disease. All disease is the result of being dehydrated, because you are hydro. You're not a hydra. So right now the hydra, the man instructing serpent, is pulling the hydro out of your body. Now, let me rephrase it this way. You're not sick. You're thirsty. Now, that's the title of a book. The title of this book is called You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty. There's a great video on YouTube. I would highly recommend that you watch it. This guy cured every known disease known to man with water. It's a great book. I recommend it. That's how I do my water therapy. That's why I drink distilled water, and that's why I do what I do, because I overstand. So this helps, but this doesn't change the way you think. So the way that you think is the problem. Now, how do you think? Well, you think like the world. So how does the world think? The world thinks like this. You do something to me, I'm going to do something to you. The world thinks like this. The world thinks that, okay, you owe me something. The world thinks in the form of cognitive dissonance. The world has two oppositions, because we are made that way. Inside of your body right now, in the middle of your body, there are certain organs, four or three of them, if I remember correctly, that are on the middle. Everything else is either on the left side of your body or the right side of the body. Let me say that again. Everything is bipolar. Everything on this planet is cognitive. So cognitive behavioral therapy, if you want to use that term, solves cognitive dissonance. So cognitive dissonance is the state of having inconsistent thoughts. So you're not sold out. Now, the Bible says it this way. It's better to be hot or to be cold. If you are lukewarm, then God spits you out of his mouth. That's what the Bible says. So that's what the Bible is saying, the same thing that I'm saying, which is the result of being attached to the world. So when you're attached to the world, you suffer from cognitive dissonance. So cognitive dissonance says, okay, man, I got a problem. I want to go to the left, but you know what? I want to go to the right too. Cognitive dissonance says, man, I want to have my cake and I want to eat it too. Cognitive dissonance says that, I want to do two different opposing opposites, two parallel things. But why does these two parallel things exist? Why don't we have one whole? Why do we have to choose between option A and option B? Why don't we have option C? Why isn't option C on the table? Option C is not on the table. It's so that the powers that be can continue to maintain lust, pride, and the cares of this world, or fear, doubt, and unbelief. So this affects you in a psychological way. How? It produces a fear response. What does that mean? You get anxiety. What does that mean? That means somebody does something to you, and now you got to make a decision. And the decision is, do I stay or do I go? So something happened on your job. They piss you off on your job. You're like, man, I'm going to quit this damn job. These people don't respect me, but, I got to pay my rent. So you got a decision. Do I quit my job or do I stay on my job? You're in a relationship. The guy does something. The girl does something. Do I stay in the relationship? Do I go? Do you want to invest? You got to take a risk. The stock market, you got the stock market, the stock broker is telling you, invest, man, this is a great opportunity. You're going to make your money. You know, you got to make a decision. So the world that we live in is based upon decisions. You are one decision away, brothers and sisters, from maximum security prison or maximum security success. One decision. One decision. You are one decision away from destroying your entire life, or you are one decision away from living your dream. One decision. I already been there, done that, and I failed. So I'm back up to bat again. So either I'm a strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out. That's every day you got to make this decision. But why? Why are we? Because we live in a world that requires us to make decisions. And your ability to make decisions determines your success. Because you're going to make a decision, and it's going to release dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, endorphins, oxytocin in your body. Or you're going to make a decision, and it's going to release cortisone. It's going to release glutamate. It's going to release adrenaline. It's going to release lactic acid in your body. One decision. So every day your body is flip-flopping back and forth with these emotions. It causes dis-ease. So the psychological effects of living in a world that is based upon polarity is you die. So if you didn't live in a world that was based upon these polar opposites, everybody, which just blows me away that now they give people medication for being bipolar when everybody's being bipolar because the world is bipolar. Don't we have a North Pole and a South Pole? Doesn't the sun rise freaking in the east and sets in the west? Don't we have a North and a South? Really? How does a magnet work? Can somebody please explain to me? We live in a world that is based upon electromagnetism, and they say that being bipolar is a disease. Man, if you ain't bipolar, something's wrong with you. Because in this system, you got a left hemisphere and a right hemisphere, do you not, of your brain? Don't you got two hands? Don't you got two nostrils? Don't you got two feet? Don't you got two lungs? Don't you got two ears? Don't you got two of everything? You are a walkie talking demonstration of bipolarism, but they want to give you medication for being normal? Come on, man. The world that we live in is based upon this bipolar because the man instructing serpent set it up that way. He took one and he divided it. And then that divided. You ever seen a human embryo? It starts off as one ptosis. And that cell divides, cellular division. So I majored in histology when I went to school. I wanted to major in histology. I went for biology, but I wanted to major in histology. Histology, again, is epigenetics. That's the new word that they call it. It's the study of the genes. It's cellular biology. It's the study of the human cell. And so this is all I do at night. I get up at night and I study the human cell. Because let me make sure y'all understand something that I don't really share too much with too many people. Because this is the crux of the problem. This is the crux of the problem. See, you don't get to choose your path. Your path chooses you. Let me say that again. You don't get to choose your dear Kinnear. I know you. We think because we went to school and it's told us we can be anything that we want to be. So the word becomes the world. So you live in a world of your creation. At least that's what they tell us. So you are the Lord of your world. Really? So if I was the Lord of my world, do y'all think I would be, if I was the Lord of my world, I would be sipping pina coladas in the Bahamas right now. I would not be doing this show. So obviously I'm not the Lord. So who is? There is a chief. There is a master. There is a ruler. There is a possessor. There is a holder of the world, the universe, the circle, the kirka, the church, the globe, the earth. His name is the Cosmogrator. Now, the Cosmos Grator, Cosmos Harmonious Arrangement, Grator, Lord. Anytime you put the L, Lord, in the word, you get the world. W-O-R-D, word. Add an L in it. World. One letter changes your word. What are you? You are a word that has became flesh and dwelt among men. That's what you are. You are letters. We call it your DNA. You got four letters. They mix them all up together. Poof, you here. So the word became flesh. How incarnate. So you are a word or letters that are put together and held together by a dirt suit. Who made the dirt suit? The words came into the dirt suit. The dirt suit was made by this circus master. The dirt suit is not your friend. So the dirt suit, if you don't do certain things, you suffer physical and psychological effects. Now, the problem is this. Nobody told you what to do. Now, we've been lied to. I hate to tell you, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I really, really do. I want everybody to be happy. You know, life, liberty, in the pursuit of happiness. We all know the Luciferian agenda. Yeah. I like that. But the problem is Luciferian. See, people think the devil is a bad guy. Actually, the devil system on earth is actually pretty good. Now, I know you can't go to church, nobody's going to tell you that, but the Reverend Dr. Bishop, he likes the devil too. He's not going to tell you that. Because everything that the devil, the Bible says that sin is good for a moment. But what does that mean? The word sin means living without your lot, without your share, without your place. What does that mean, though? That means, my brothers and sisters, discourse and intercourse. We live in a world that is based upon the laws of sex magic. That's why you go to church, you have communion. You have communion at church. You take the wafer and you eat the flesh. You take the wafer. Now, this is all sex magic. I've done the show already. The word communion comes from the word culmination, comes from the word come. Because from the word, which what the male does during the sexual act, communion, it means to come together, come, C-U-M, not C-O-M-E. When two people get together, come, C-U-M, union. Communion means to come in union. It's sex magic. Now, I know this is contrary to your theology. I understand. But again, I'm here to explain to you why you are suffering. So that way, if you want to continue to suffer, you can. But if you want to stop, you can stop it anytime you want. You can stop it. Because right now, the thing that's controlling your life is worldliness. What is worldliness? Lust, pride, and care. Now, you should be sitting with Brother Will. Caring? Come on, dog. Caring with the world. Notice the Bible says the love of. So it is the love. Because come in union is two words. It means common and the word union. It means to come together. But it's not the C-O-M-E. It's the C-U-M. It means when two people come together. Now, you should be saying something else. Why is that bad? Well, it's bad because somebody told you it was bad. Okay, who told you it was bad? Well, the Reverend Dr. Bishop. Oh, he did? He told me the same thing. I used to teach the same thing. But what does that mean? Why are you suffering from cognitive dissonance? Because you got something that is normal that everybody's telling you is abnormal. And so you're fighting to be, you're fighting against the prick. But what does that mean? Let's break this down really, really quickly. Cognitive dissonance, psychological effects of being mind-elfed by the church or religion. This is maritime law. Now, right now we are having intercourse. Now, I know you don't think so, but we're having sex right now. What does that mean? We're having sex. We're having discourse. Notice the word. Look at the word. Please look at it. What's the difference? D-I-S. Remember I told you the difference of the word dis? It means to reverse the force. So the word dis means to change direction, course. So I am doing what is called didactic discourse. You guys remember? Go to my website. That's all I do every day. Now, I am an expert at what I do. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm very good at two things. Discourse, we always hit the other one. Now, you are too. You just, somebody told you that you wasn't. And somebody told you that doing that thing was bad. Now, we could get into mare, M-A-R, age. But that's another study for another time. Because they lied to you there too. We could also talk about anytime you put your signature on anything, certificate, mare that has come of age, on a certificate, what that means. But that's another study for another time. So we have reversed your course. My job is to reverse your course. That's why I do didactic discourse. I just don't do any kind of discourse. Brothers and sisters, your tongue and your private areas are exactly the same. So verbal discourse and physical intercourse are both exactly the same, spiritually speaking. Now, I don't have time to break it all down, but all I'm simply revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying is the understanding of the cognitive and the genitive connection, meaning your head, men, and your head, men, the big head and the little head. They both are the same. But the problem is somebody told you to dislike the little head or to restrict or to do this or to do that. Now, should you do all of these things? Absolutely. But you should understand why you do these things. Because the word discourse and the word intercourse are exactly the same. But we got to understand how it affects you on a psychological level. And we got to understand how it affects you on a physical level. Because if you do either one of these wrong, you suffer. If you do sexual intercourse wrong, the word intercourse again means communications or dealings between people. Now, I could talk about the word copulation. We could talk about all of these terms, but this is not a show, again, on sex magic. We've already did that show. But we have to understand that religious terminology and symbolism is all rooted in the seed of ancient fertility worship. Even what a man does. For example, I want to be a seminary. Even the word seminary and the word cemetery, both of these words are grounded in the word semen. So we got semen, we got seminar, we got seminal, we got cemetery, we got semen, we got all of these words are the same. They all have the same base root word. What is the word? Seed. Seaman is C-S-E-E, man, or seaman. It comes from the root word of seed, or sowing your seed, which goes back to sex magic. But sex in our culture is frowned upon. It's bad. People don't really understand what I just said, and I understand. But we have to get to a point in life where we start to begin the dialogue of understanding how lust, pride, and the cares of this world makes us feel a certain way that causes physical and psychological effects in our body. If we do not have that dialogue where we operate outside of lust, outside of pride, and outside of the cares of this world, we will always be in fear, doubt, and unbelief, because those things are frowned upon. So we got to turn lust into faith. We got to turn pride into hope. We got to turn caring into loving. We got to transmute negative energy into positive energy to remove the physical and the psychological effects of this world. This frequency is here. Lust is here. Pride is here. Caring is here. Just like God told Paul when he asked him to move this messenger of Satan, this wave frequency of vibrations from the cosmic God to it. God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. I ain't moving it. So you got to learn how to transmute it. You got to learn how to use it. You got to learn how to take what the enemy meant for evil and use it for your good. If you do not know how to take what the enemy meant for evil and transmute it into good, then that's going to have harmful effects on your physical and your psychological body. So don't be ashamed of your sexuality or your sensuality. Don't make it evil. Don't make it something like what the church does, because it's not. So the church wants you to be all bound up. They want you to operate in fear. Now, let me make sure we are on the same page as I bring this part three to a close. So the scripture says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Okay? God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's what scripture says. God has not spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So why does the church teach fear? Now, very important that you really listen to what I just said, because it may sound like I'm saying two different things, but I'm not. That's the purpose of understanding Lane Goo Age. The God of this world is the God of Lane Goo Age. He understands that the underlying meaning of these words are the same, but he knows that you may not understand that the underlying meaning of these words are the same. Now, I have an old dictionary lexicon, and I'm comparing it to the new blueletterbible.org for definitions, and the definitions of the Greek words have changed over the last 20 years. So I have a book that's way that I had that I bought back in the 70s, and I'm comparing it to Blue Letter Bible and Esau and the definitions that's inside of the Bible that we research, that we establish our belief system on, and the definitions of the words have changed. Words establishes worlds. Whoever controls your language controls you. So the language has changed, so the psychological effects of worldliness has changed, and the physical effects of worldliness has changed. That is why we have to understand all of these terms. That is why it's so important that we look at this from a holistic point of view while we are breaking it down from an etymology, or breaking it down step by step. So tomorrow we're going to continue to break this down a little further, and we're going to go further down the rabbit trail of understanding worldliness and what it is. We know who controls it. His name is the Cosmic Grotor. Now, he got many names, but for the sake of this study, his name is the Cosmic Grotor. Okay, we got a name. But that doesn't tell me if I'm a friend of the world, if I have lust and I have pride and I got cares of the world, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it? Now, I know what the Bible says. I know what religion, I know what the Reverend Dr. Bishop says, but I need to know from a biological perspective, what's wrong with having lust in my body? What's wrong with having doubt and fear in my body? What's wrong with having the cares of this world? What's wrong with it? Why can't I have that? I don't see nothing wrong with it. What's wrong with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? What is wrong with that? Well, brothers and sisters, there's a lot wrong with it. Tomorrow we break down how you can tell physically. Let me just say one word about one of the biggest ones that destroys and has destroyed and will continue to destroy. And that is that one little word, alcohol. Alcohol, that one word. Now, we'll break it down tomorrow. Alcohol. Now, I posted it on my Facebook page. If anybody want to get a jump on tomorrow, what we're going to talk about, you drink alcohol? Yeah. You wonder why you're aging? Oh, we're going to break it down. We're going to understand why, again, lust, The Bible says three things that establish worldliness: the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the cares of this world. What's wrong with it? How does it affect you physically and psychologically? We're going to break down the big three. We're going to break down Hydra, that three-headed serpent, tomorrow. So my brothers, my sisters, I want to thank everybody for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, this is part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now. But no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. Kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You go with us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2, some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2, some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Yeah. Rate it all, hit it on the nail. Let me tell you about these physicality.